This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 590. Off to Anaheim. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We are also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from pops to dorbs, rides to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA2018.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of All Things Azeroth. I am still not Medros, but fortunately we haven't lost him completely. No fear, your Fedorian podcaster is still around. How you doing, Medros, other than, you know, being half horse? Okay, that's like three quarters horse, maybe.
I'll take it. Still hard to talk.
Well, hey, you're sounding better than you did last week, so that's better than nothing, right?
True.
You also heard in the background, Fan, how are you doing this week?
Oh, hi. I'm fabulous. We got lots of interesting news coming up for you all today.
Yeah, I know, right? The playoffs are starting in a couple days, and I'm sure that's what everybody wants to hear us talk about.
Hockey!
Yeah.
It's All Things Hockey Cast.
Just kidding, guys. We've got actual WoW news to talk about this week, so we will talk about that, and there's quite a bit of it. I'm sure there's a lot of news that's making a lot of people happy this week. But first, Fan, how was your week in WoW?
Trying to think of what I did. It might not have been very much. I haven't been downstairs on my computer since the last show, I don't think. Maybe a little bit. I know I played some Hearthstone last night. Doing the tavern brawl for last week, and it's kind of dedicated to the Year of the Raven, which I guess is the new thing. It was interesting. I lost so many games. I think it took me 5 or 6 tries to actually win a game, but when you win, it feels so good, and you like win so good. When I lose so bad, but that's the way things work, eh?
Yeah, I've been thinking about getting into Hearthstone again, because, you know, I had fun with it when I was playing, but I think, personally, it would be hard for me to resist my constant need to spend money in Blizzard games.
Yeah.
Like, I've been eyeing that pre-order the Witchwood button a lot lately. But like, no. I keep looking like, oh, I should do that. I get extra packs. It's great. And a cool back. But then, like, I just bought a house. So maybe not.
Might be a better idea to save your money there.
Yeah.
You could always channel a little Fan and, you know, not spend money on Hearthstone and just suffer through it.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking about doing. Because, as you know, as you said, I bought a house, and I'm going to have some other expenses to worry about in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, so many expenses. All the expenses. But we'll talk about that a bit later. Did you get up to anything else, or is just Hearthstone this week?
You know, I feel like maybe I did a little bit of Diablo. Very little. I'm sure I logged into WoW for a little bit, but not anything too crazy, so it's been a slow week for me.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to log on when you got a little one running around.
Yeah. And other things, like we went to a Moose game.
Yeah.
Yesterday, so that was her first hockey game. She got to see the Moose. Unfortunately, they lost. They let in 2 shorthanded goals. But she was so good. So.
I don't know about you guys, but when I have a mindset to sit down and play WoW, like I have to sit down and know I have got a lot of time set aside to be able to play. If I know I've only got like 20 minutes, half an hour, I personally don't feel like it's a good use of my free time to play WoW. Because I feel like at that point you're just really getting going, whatever you're doing. How do you guys feel the same way?
I don't know. Like, a lot of times I'll sit down and I'll be like, I'll, you know, check out my character and I'll be like, oh, what am I doing? I don't really want to do this right now. But a lot of other times I'll log in and do all of the, what are those things? The emissary.
The world quest things?
Yeah, the world quest. So I'll punch out, like, you know, 4, 8, 12 world quests, or maybe only 11, because there's a Kirin Tor one, Kirin Tor emissary. But very often I'll do that, and then I'll be like, okay, I want to go do this on another character. And I'm like, no, I hit my limit. A lot of times I also look at like the gear that I have, and oh, I should look at these places. Like, what is it? What's the add-on? All the Things, where it tells you what you don't have if you want to collect everything. So I look at that, and I'm like, oh, I should really go do Karazhan and collect items that I don't have. Or, you know, go do a quick Oni run, because that's so quick and easy.
Yeah, Oni run is quick. Getting to Onyxia is not quick.
No, if you're Horde, it's not so bad if you go to Orgrimmar and just fly a little bit south.
Yeah, if you're Horde.
Yeah. You know, that's why I do all my stuff on other fan.
I guess I have that, my troll warlock I could run Oni on.
You could even park outside of the instance and just log in and do it.
I mean, that's true too. I've got enough alts where they don't all need to be parked in Dalaran constantly.
Yeah. I know. When I used to run stuff like that a lot more, I would run Karazhan like 10 times in a day just to try to get the horse. And so send all my toons down there.
Yeah, because it's not that hard, because it's the first boss, right? You just run into the first boss, and then...
Yeah. Except I'd be on my enchanter, and I'd be like, oh, I should go try to get Mongoose, or whatever other enchants are there. And like, oh.
For me, back in the day, it was... Like, before I got the mount, it was run into the mount and then realize that Gore Howl drops.
Oh.
And, like, should I spend some time getting Gore Howl? Yeah, probably. And then it's, you know, a couple hours later.
Or sometimes I'll be like, I'm just going to do a full clear because nostalgia, right? And then I get to chess and I'm like, why did I do this? I'm horrible at doing the chess event. And then wipe on it a few times. And then once in a while, I'll beat chess, and then I'll go do... what's the last boss?
It starts with an M, right?
Melchizar? Melchizar, yeah! Melchizar! That's a fun fight. It was a fun fight.
Yeah, now it's just world throw when you're done.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, it's... I love doing nostalgia-inducing things. It's just, a lot of times it's like, oh, what can I do to make my character better? And I think maybe within the last week, I spent some time trying to do Mage Tower and still failing horribly at it.
Yeah, Mage Tower is one of those things where you gotta do it just right, otherwise it's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I know what I have to do, I just lose track and adds... bother me, and I don't know, maybe I DPS things down too fast and don't get time to control the adds because my dots are doing too much damage on the bosses. I don't know. I've not succeeded at it yet.
You'll get it. You got the cheater legendary, right?
I do.
So That's fine. We'll get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so cheater, and I still can't even use it properly. It's other things that I can do that I don't do, like stand in a pool of slime so that an ad doesn't get spawned that will eat my face in 2 shots. Stuff like that.
Yeah, don't get your face eaten. That does not lend itself to success.
It's one of those big unseen things or whatever that's really ugly, and it kind of wobbles over to me and says nom 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 and I'm dead.
It's rude, honestly.
Yeah.
We've been talking for a while. Medros, how was your week? Or sick. Past couple weeks, actually.
Sick. Didn't really do much WoW. Just haven't really been feeling too energetic, trying to do bare minimums as much as I can. Yeah, being sick sucks. Really, really sucks. I literally haven't played any of my alts other than logging into one, walking out of the inn he was in, thinking for about 5 seconds, and then walking him back into the inn, and then logging out. That's pretty much the sum of the WoW playing that I've done on my alts, my lobby alts. My other alts, basically just trying to get their resources at least in a somewhat good place. Doing the daily stuff on my ones that have the 18-hour complete a world quest thing, and trying to do wherever I can the professional ones that reward Bloods of Sargeras to keep up that stock, so that when I need Bloods of Sargeras on my ornamental resources on my alts, I can use those towards that. So, but other than that, yeah, just not doing a lot. Doesn't help that several times when I get to my desk, I'm just ready to like nap. Which doesn't help at all.
Definitely not. I can sympathize with that. I guess I'll tell you guys about my week. My week, played a bunch on the Alpha, actually. I had a lot of fun with that. I'm doing the Horde side of things just because that's what I normally do when I do these testing things. I run the opposite side faction because I don't want to spoil anything for myself. I'm having a lot of fun running around the troll area. Mostly I've just been questing and taking in the sights because that's some pretty zone right there. It's very large, like almost too large, I want to say. The city that you're in, Zoldazar, the zone is Zoldazar. Forget the name of the city. But like, be prepared for a lot of stairs, guys. There's a lot of stairs.
Is there a stairs boss that you can fall off and hurt yourself?
Yeah. Yep.
Did you do that?
I'm a warrior, so every time I did, I just heroic leaped.
What if it was on cooldown?
Luckily, the way I go play through Alpha and all that, it's very rarely do I end up with heroic leap on cooldown. Just because, like, I'll do a couple quests and then stencil for a little while, just looking around and going through all the different things, especially the transmog stuff. And then I'll start going again, or I'll look around an area real quick and just mindlessly kill stuff. So, heroic leap usually isn't a cooldown for me. So yeah, I've actually had to use it a few times to bail me out. It's pretty bad. Well, I raided this Friday. Didn't get, again, as far as we would have liked. We got up to Coven again. Coven is our downfall. I hate Coven with a burning passion. For those of you who knew me, when I was reading Hellfire Citadel, Gorfin at the time was my most hated boss. Gorfin has now been replaced. Coven can die in a fire, preferably a fire stoked by the powers of the Titans, so that I never have to deal with them again. I look forward to the day when someone in my group manages to get that fourth kill on Angrimmar, so we can do the rest of the raid, skip Coven, and go right to Angrimmar. That's all I want. Somebody needs to do that. Junx, if you're listening, you're not right now, but if you're listening to the download, I need you to, as the raid leader, get that fourth kill on Angrimmar. Please. I don't want to do Coven again. Yeah, no Coven. Never again. Like, there are bosses where you take great pleasure in going back when you're higher level, just so you can one-shot it. I have no desire to do that for Coven. If it dropped one of the coolest mounts in game that I could farm pretty easily in an expansion or two, I would not do it. I never wanted to see that fight again. Yes, like, never, ever, forever, Zephyriah. Yeah. So, alpha and raiding. That's been my life in WoW for the past week. And of course, I'm still lost in my Stardew Valley hole. Somebody dig me out. I'm currently buried under many potatoes, many blueberries, and many truffles.
I'm not even ask.
Are you familiar with the Harvest Moon games,
No.
Medros?
Intentionally, no.
Are you familiar with the concept of them? Like, I'm aware that you may not play them, but are you aware of the concept?
Only way I'm aware of the concept is that people compared our farm in Pandaria to that.
No, they compared it to Farmville.
No, they compared it to that. People I talked to compared it to that, to those kind of games. Not at all Farmville. Like, Farmville is very different from what we had in Pandaria, but several people referred to it in that sense.
I guess I can see that, actually, because Harvest Moon is very much like, it's the farming thing, absolutely, but there's a social aspect to it as well, where you need to befriend different villagers and get married and all that other crap. So yeah, I guess I can see that comparison. But yeah, Stardew Valley, like that, like Harvest Moon, only there's combat too, so I can fight zombies and stuff. It's a very different game, and I've been enjoying it a lot. It's nice to take a break every once in a while. I think that's about it. So let's talk about our first sponsor. Our new sponsor is Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you have definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Star Trek, Star Wars, Doctor Who, Marvel, DC, Sherlock, Game of Thrones, and more. We like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko is the 6-inch... Pop. That's one of the bigger ones. Rubius Hagrid from the Harry Potter series. I really like it, actually. You got a little pink umbrella, and that's really cool. If you want to check out this Funko and many others, you can go to bit.ly/FunkoATA2018 to check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018 and use Shop10 to save 10%. Thanks to Funko for their support of the show.
Indeed.
All right, Fan, what's coming up this week?
Oh, it's a very quiet week. The only thing we have going on this coming week in WoW is the Battleground bonus event, and that's going to run from April 10th to the 16th. More stuff coming up next week, but yeah, it's a pretty light week for events in WoW.
Well, it's a good thing we've got a bunch of stuff coming up outside of game, right?
Right?
Not quite this week. It's going to be in a few months. It's in about 7 months. 7 months short a week. So, the much-anticipated announcement of BlizzCon has come to us this morning. It'll be November 2nd and November 3rd. I know I'm planning on going. Fan, I believe you're attempting to go.
I am very tempted to go. Like, I don't even know. Chances are very good. I just need to ultimately convince myself that yes, this is a great idea.
Yeah, you got the okay from the wife. It's fine. You just gotta talk yourself into it. Yeah. I'll help.
I mean, I've already talked myself into it. I like go in circles. I waffle about it.
Okay, so you gotta talk yourself into it and like stay convinced.
Yeah, well, I guess no. It won't take much. I just some stuff I wanna think about first, and like when I would go and stuff like that, and when I would come home and whatnot like that. Like I would definitely we don't have a news item for this, do we? So right before BlizzCon, every year there is Con Before the Storm, and so that's going to be on November 1st, I believe. They
announced that today as well.
Announced it today, yeah. So I really want to go to that as well, because when I was there, I enjoyed it a lot. I didn't dig it quite as much listening to it from home, but maybe that's because I wasn't in, you know, hot, beautiful Anaheim and had other things that I was focused on at the time. But I really want to go to that as well, so.
Yeah, Con Before the Storm is a great party. I look forward to that every year. It's fantastic. For those of you who haven't been to BlizzCon, I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a convention for all things Blizzard. You know, they'll be talking about WoW, Overwatch, Diablo, maybe. StarCraft 2.
See,
Here's the Storm, Hearthstone.
I have all the those. Complete opposite issue of what Fan does.
What's that?
I'm completely convinced. Just need some convincing to do.
Well, hopefully you are successful. It'll be nice to have all three of us out there again. It was
very
awesome. Weird being the only representative of all things Azeroth last year.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
So once again, that's November 2nd, November 3rd in Anaheim at the Anaheim Convention Center. And tickets go on sale May 9th at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and May 12th, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. So,
and mark by that on your calendars. About 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time on the 9th, I'll be announcing how many tickets I have extra.
Yeah, because Medros has a horseshoe lodge places, manages to get multiple tickets every year. Not just multiple tickets, as in he buys up the four that he gets. Like, multiple batches of tickets. I don't understand. I think once in the 5 years that I've been going, I've successfully bought my own ticket.
I think Medros is totally botting.
Yep, totally.
He's like a bot.
Totally have a bot program running to buy tickets to BlizzCon and sell them at face value to my friends.
Totally. That's respectable.
Botting. Hey, at least you're selling them at face value, unlike those scummy eBay people.
Dude, I could pay for my BlizzCon ticket and my entire trip if I wasn't so ethical. I know this,
damn,
but I still
ethics.
Won't do it.
Damn your ethics.
Like, I could take the four tickets, boost the price a little bit, sell them, and pay for my trip. But I won't.
Ooh. But hey, because hey, you're not a dick. Don't be a dick. Don't oversell them on eBay.
No, I don't. I won't even go to eBay.
Exactly.
I'll go to eBay and report the crap out of any listings. I have a macro to do that, and I did that last year. I don't know how well that did for getting them off the market, but
hey, if for some reason you're not able, not if for some reason, if you are one of the many who will inevitably not succeed on May 9th and May 12th, go check out LF BlizzCon. It's a fantastic place where you can see people selling them for face value, because that's all they allow.
I just went and looked up the site, and it has a countdown already. 206 days, 16 hours, 11 minutes, and 5 seconds until BlizzCon.
Is it too early to start with the hype train?
No, it's never too early.
Okay, good, because I'm already on board.
I'm pretty sure you started that hype train when you came back from the last BlizzCon.
Yeah, because literally the day after I got back, my hotel was booked.
I couldn't book the hotels that I have booked until late November. But I will, without a doubt, have some bookings available for people who want to. I made some bookings. One or two extras.
There you go. It's fine.
I want to make sure I had suite and non-suite.
Sweet.
I love having a suite. The suites are really nice, really roomy. They're really great in the Clarion. And that's the only hotel I'll stay at. Because I'm confident if I go back this year, even not going for a year, the waiters will remember me from the years I've gone.
Oh man, the people at the Clarion Hotel are fantastic.
Absolutely.
So was the Clarion the one that I stayed at last time I went?
Yes.
Yes. We all stayed at the Clarion last time you went.
Because that was okay. Last time you went was with DVD, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because where did we stay before that? Holiday Inn?
Best Western?
Best Western, Best Western on the other side of the convention center.
That was such a hike.
Yeah.
Clarion is so nice because you just have to walk down the...
And it's a nice walk.
Down the street.
For me, like, if she goes with me, it's perfect because it's like walk down the nice path to the convention center for me, and it's like walk across the street to the Toy Story parking lot where you can catch a free bus over to Disneyland. It's a win-win right there.
And way back, if you were to imbibe in a couple of Four Locos, you could just get rolled back. but I mean, that's not.
That's never.
I don't know anybody who's done that at Clarion.
That's not happened one time.
I bring it up twice.
No, it was just the one.
2 days. I showed up in 2 days.
Really?
There was no rolling.
I'm pretty sure you did the Four Loko over 2 days.
Did I?
There was no rolling necessary because all that was done in the hotel room.
This is true. Anyway. BlizzCon 2018, November 2nd and 3rd. Get hyped. My flight's already booked. I'll see you nerds there.
Awesome.
But that is not the only significant news we've heard this past week, is it, Medros?
I have no idea what you're talking about. There's no other news this week. That's the only news that's worth mentioning this week.
Well, I mean, that's the news that came out this week. What about news that came out last week?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we also happen to have another date that's fairly important. I think it's one we've been kind of wondering what it would be like, because we knew it was going to be before the end of September, but we weren't quite sure that the actual time frame. The actual link that I was provided here is actually not to the actual information that it's linked. It said it's to the release of Battle for Azeroth is going to be August 14th.
Yay. More hype! Get hype!
I will say again that link is not to the release date. It's to the Collector's Edition. The same link as one below it, but okay.
Oh yeah, look at that.
So yeah, Collector's Edition. They announced the Collector's Edition as well, which is awesome, and one other thing that they had mentioned, and I think it's in the link of this link, but for the collector's edition, they've changed the way
they handle pre-ordering.
Yeah, because one of the concerns we had before, or I definitely had, is that if you pre-order regular edition through the digital edition or digital version or whatever, if you got collector's edition, you would get the key for the regular one, and you'd be responsible for finding somebody to take your key, or you'd be out whatever the price of the game was. But what they're doing this year is if you pre-order the digital version and then you get a collector's edition, if you apply your collector's edition before the end of 2018, like if you apply your key, you will be refunded the amount for the standard digital on your BattleNet, in your BattleNet wallet. There's a little bit of hand-wavy as far as if you have Digital Deluxe. I believe if you bought standard and then you went to Digital Deluxe, if you apply the collector's edition, then you only get the value of the standard back. But if you got Digital Deluxe and then you got collector's, I don't know exactly what you get. I think you would get digital. But
if you order the digital, or like at the start, basically you get your credit back is whatever you originally order. So if you order the standard and upgrade to the digital, you only get the standard back.
Okay.
If you order the digital up front, you get the full digital value back.
Okay. See, I wasn't sure from reading it, but that's super cool that they're doing this, so I can go and do that and unlock all the characters for the allied races. And then when I get my collector's, and then I don't have to have the collector's edition the day of release to actually be able to play. I can just play the day of release, and if I get the collector's edition a week later, I apply the key, I get my credit, and everybody's happy. I think this is a super awesome move. I fully endorse that, and I don't see why they didn't do this previously. I really respect that, and big kudos to Blizzard for fixing that giant oversight.
This is definitely like the best way they've handled the pre-orders, and I'm really happy to see that they've taken the feedback and have found a better way of going about it. Can I just say, though, like, the collector's edition that we're getting with Battle for Azeroth is a little bit different than the previous collector's editions we've received. So, for those of you who aren't aware, previous collector's editions had what? A making of DVD, a copy of the game, a physical soundtrack, an art book, and a mouse pad. And I think that's about it. Plus various digital goodies, obviously.
Oh my! So we heard you get the game on disc, and something about CD, and I think that's about it.
That is definitely not all you get, everybody.
That is completely all we heard.
Okay. Art book. We get that.
Art book.
Currently. Making of DVD, mouse pad, various digital goodies and art book.
Yes.
Okay, this time we don't get that. I'm going to let somebody else detail what we're getting in the collector's edition because I'm cutting out like crazy, apparently.
You are cutting out pretty badly, yes. I'll try and do this here. This time we get a double-sided storybook. One is the same story told from the Alliance side. One is the story told by the Horde side. Christy Golden is writing the Alliance side one, and Robert Brooks is writing the Horde side. Each story includes original artwork. And I actually watched some of the tweets that Christy Golden said, and they said that they wrote these in tandem, so they were writing them alongside each other to make sure that everything meshed with the stories between the two. And I'm really excited to see that. One thing I'm really excited for as well is this double-sided Mark of Allegiance. Now, the video they showed doesn't really give you context of size, but Swifty, I guess he's at PAX East, I guess, is where this is at. They actually have this on display there, and they have it backdropped by the art book, and this thing is going to be significantly sized. Like, it's a good probably 4 or 5, maybe 6 inches in width across, and it's one side's Horde, one side's Alliance, and it has a stand even, so you can put this on display and show your pride in your faction. I'm really excited for that, and I'm really glad that I was so worried this was going to be like some dinky little coin sized thing that would take a lot to actually show in any significant fashion. But this is going to be sizable, so I'm really excited about that.
It's massive, yeah. And it says it weighs a little under a pound.
Yeah, and they actually updated the original post to show next to a quarter and a banana, because you always need a banana for scale.
You'll also get, of course, the usual in-game content, your game key, and the soundtrack. I am surprised there's no art book. Surprised there's no behind the scenes, but you will get a lot of really great in-game content. You'll get a Ravasaur Horde mount, a Stallion Alliance mount, Toddle the baby Tortolan pet. You'll get a character boost to level 110. In Hearthstone, you got an Azeroth is Burning card back. In Heroes of the Storm, you got a Primal Flamesaber mount. In Overwatch, you're getting an Alliance banner or Horde banner emotes for Tracer. Tiorborn is going to have a For the Alliance and For the Horde emote. Zandalar and Kaltras icons. Anduin, Jaina, Sylvanas, and Varrok sprays. And in StarCraft, you're going to get a Horde and Alliance sprays as well. And this is a $100 US, $129 Canadian currently.
Sadly, I haven't looked at the other art books for the other collector's edition I have, but I guess the storybook kind of, since it has the art, it kind of replaces the art book then?
I guess, yeah. Like, I don't know what the book is that they have in display, but I assume that's about the same size as the art book.
Yeah, I saw something from Christy Golden. She was tweeting out about people's concerns about the lack of an art book for this collector's edition. And she said, well, like the book is fairly lengthy. It's basically the length of two small novels, given that they're two separate stories. But there's also quite a bit of art featured within the book, so we're still going to get an art book-esque type thing, but we're going to get a story with that too.
Overall, I'm super excited for this. I am definitely going to order the collector's edition, especially knowing that, I have a whole bunch of collector's edition boxes, so I can't stop now. It's one of those things that I do throw money at quite easily. I'm missing a few. I don't have the original. I don't have BC. I think I have everything after that, though.
I was so lucky that you guys were going on to Fargo when you guys were that one time.
Yeah. And so lucky that I didn't decide, oh, I'm going to just buy this for me.
Yes. Yes, I would have been very upset with you. I'm really excited. I've already pre-ordered mine. I'm hoping that we can get it the day before, though I don't really need it the day before because I do have the pre-order. Having a release date and having the collector's edition announced and be able to pre-order that is really cool. I'm really excited for this expansion to come out, and it was really amusing to me because the people at EB Games were asking me questions about the expansion and it being in the alpha and stuff, because they recognize me as somebody who's been there for like the last 3 or 4 expansions now, getting my game from them.
Now, one of the things that you had mentioned, I believe on Skype before, was that they've changed their policy. And they require a 50% deposit at the EB Games in Canada?
Not 50%,
$50. $50. Well, yeah, collectors, that's 50%.
No, it's $129 in Canada.
Less than, yeah.
Now, I don't know if this is also in the EB or the GameStop branch of the company. I don't know if this also applies to the Australian branch, EB Games, but definitely here in Canada, at least at the one I was at, their policy is now $50. I don't know anybody who's refused to say it, to do that and been offered a lower amount, but I wasn't willing to because I want to pre-order it. And I do have issues with them having my money for that long. You know, it's the whole, why should you collect interest on my money instead of me? But I would have paid it anyway, eventually. So I'm really, really happy that they changed the policy around the swapping of the codes. And they made it automated. You no longer have to do a ticket into the support, customer support people asking for that. It's now automatic. When you apply a CE code, you will automatically get that amount to your Blizzard balance. So that's really awesome.
Yeah.
And I was really happy to see that improvement. I know there's people in the past who've been really frustrated. You especially, Fan, with the fact that, you know, in this time, in this modern time, why is it even moderately, remotely realistic that you can't give us Blizzard balance? You're still keeping our money. I mean, I understand from a unit sold perspective, like, they want to have that number for their quarterly stuff, having sold, so to speak, two copies of the game instead of one does look better for them. But in the end, it has to be something that they are willing to do for their customers in order to be more customer focused and customer driven. I know that if they hadn't done this, there's a lot of people who would not have pre-ordered this time until they have the ability to pre-order Collector's Edition physically.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah.
And I mean, personally, I don't care if they hold on to X amount of money for so long, they're going to get it anyways. And that doesn't mean anything to me. It's just the whole rigmarole of, you're going to keep this money and charge me this more for the next thing that's just a little bit better. Like,
no. Yeah. Like, at least pre-ordering through Blizzard, if that was what I was willing to do. Like, if I was happy with just a digital code and not needing the collector's physical collector's edition, you know, if that was all I cared about, at least if that, through Blizzard, I'm getting access to stuff already. When I'm pre-ordering 3B games, I'm not getting that stuff. So there is literally no benefit to pre-ordering until the last possible moment. But you never know when that is. You never know when their cutoff is. Okay, we can't order any additional copies after this. This is our cutoff today. Beyond that, we're done. I know people who've been bitten by that, and they had to wait until a copy became available after release when somebody came along and said, I don't want my copy. Go ahead and sell it. Blizzard's done a good turn for the customers this time, so I'm very happy to see that they have done this. And I know several people who have now both pre-ordered the standard edition to get access to their boost, as well as pre-ordered their collector's edition since this announcement. So,
oh yeah, there's a boost too.
Yeah, if you pre-order your digital and your CE, you get access to the boost right away. And you, of course, can unlock your allied races as well. That's not requiring the pre-order, is it? The allied races?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I couldn't remember if that was or not.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome, because back to at the moment, I can't. Like, I walk into the place where they're supposed to be, and there's nobody there to give me quests. They're all standing around there, but they're like, hi, you haven't paid us money yet, so you can't get anything. And they actually do literally say that. No, not really.
Give gold, please.
real gold.
No gold for you.
Real person's gold. No gold.
PAX East happened over the weekend, and as we all know, Blizzard was there, and oh boy, there was a lot of stuff that came out of there. There are a lot of people with many, many interviews regarding the battle for Azeroth Alpha and the things that they're finding within the Alpha. Among those interviewers was Sleepbang, Wildchakra, Vanyan, Trade Chats, a bunch of other people. So we've got a whole whack load of information behind what's going on in the battle for Azeroth Alpha. So right now, they talked a bit about Azerite, just what they're intending the Azerite system to be right now. I know that's been discussed, and people have been wondering what it's going to be since the Alpha started. So we've got a little bit of information there because the Azerite armor pieces are starting to hit the Alpha as well.
Azerite starts with the same letter as artifact. So they're basically artifacts.
I mean, no. So for those of you familiar with the Netherlight Crucible in the ship that I can't remember the name of.
On the Vindicar?
That's it. The Blignikar. It's very much similar to that right now, anyway. The first row of Azerite options gives one option per spec, but some of those options will involve spells shared between specs, and so it will be an option for both. It's also worth noting that Azerite armor can be respec'd, so you'll be able to move those things around if you so choose. It's currently undetermined how often you'll be able to do that. And they did talk about legendaries in one of the interviews. Now, I know all of you are looking forward to any news about legendaries because we need to get all the oranges. Right? That's how it works. We all want oranges.
Of course.
So we're going to get all the oranges.
Dude, now I feel like I have an orange.
They did say that the Legion legendary system is not coming back, but there is a possibility for one-off legendaries in Battle for Azeroth. So maybe something more along the lines of what we've seen previously. Expansion long quests or stuff like that. I'd be okay with that.
One thing that I really like, just jumping down a little bit, Queen Ashara is the Gul'dan of BFA, meaning that she'll likely be the final boss of the raid after Uldir, but not the final boss of the expansion. So there's more on the plate than just Queen Ashara. So that's cool. That's exciting. And to like actually say, oh, hey, she's here for sure.
Yeah, I really like that. I kind of like the way they're approaching these raid tiers now, where, you know, it may be, you know, a significant story point for the first tier, but not necessarily a big lore thing, like a big lore character involved.
Yeah.
Because we had that with the Legion, where we faced off against Xavius in the Emerald Nightmare. You know, that was a big thing, but it wasn't one of the big bads of the expansion. But Nighthold came along, and oh, there's the big bad. So I like the way they did that. There was a boss that kind of defined the middle point of the expansion.
Mm-hmm. And like a big bad too, like not just somebody that you sneeze on and whatever, but somebody that actually means something.
Yeah, because I mean, no one's going to say that Xavius is not a big bad. We've been very much aware of him for a long time.
Yeah.
The fact that we'll eventually have to go to the Emerald Nightmare to deal with him, and we did that. That was great. But at the same time, he was never, at least not in-game, an in-your-face bad guy. Gul'dan was. And whereas at Queen Ajara was, because Queen Ajara has been this threat that's been looming in the background. We've seen her numerous times throughout the World of Warcraft questing experience. Especially, I think there's a quest where you interact with her in Darkshore, I want to say.
Yeah.
Again, another big threat that we're very much aware of that we know we have to deal with eventually, and now we're going to deal with that threat. So that's cool. Like I said, I like the way they're having bosses where that denotes a definite midpoint of the expansion. I think that's good. It helps you have an idea of how the story is progressing, I think. I don't know. What do you guys think of that?
I like it. Very pro. Very much for it.
I'm very curious how the patch release cycle is going to be and how story-driven that's going to be compared to what it was in Legion. But overall, I'm very excited to see what they're doing here.
Well, they actually talked about the patch cycle of Legion, which is pretty interesting. Apparently, that 77 days thing was just a coincidence. It literally just happened to work out that way.
Yeah.
It was not planned, apparently. But in one of these interviews, they mentioned, they addressed that point specifically. Like, no, it just happened to work out that way. It's fine.
One other thing that's interesting, I guess, is the team wants to have unique abilities for each class and moments for them to shine in encounters, but raid encounters that require a specific class will only show up in Mythic raids. So in Mythic, you're going to have encounters that need something from everybody, possibly. But in before Mythic, there's things that will definitely help you, but not necessarily, I need this class to have this ability, otherwise I won't be able to kill this boss type thing. So that's cool. Like, I like the idea of requiring like an extra skill cap for Mythic and something that kind of provides challenge for the Mythic raiders and you know, so that they don't think that they have to stack arcane mages for a certain fight because they can blow things up really, really, really fast and easy.
I'm not sure how I feel about that design, actually.
No?
To be honest with you. I mean, now I just want to clarify, you said that in Mythic there's a possibility of there being abilities that were, you need this class to succeed at the encounter, right?
Yeah.
Did I misunderstand that? Okay. I mean, that goes very much against the whole bring the player, not the class thing. I mean, that is directly opposite of that whole mantra. I mean, it's good that it's limited to Mythic, because, you know...
Yeah.
I can say, as somebody who regularly raids Heroic, having an encounter that heavily favors a certain class, and if you happen not to have, is a gigantic pain in the ass.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. But I think it's... I mean, how many classes are there now? There's 11? 13? Oh, wow. Yeah, to require at least one of each... That's a little overkill, I think, but to have a fight where having one particular class, like five of one particular class to make the fight more trivial, I don't like that at all either.
Heroic Angrimmar is a good example of needing various specific classes. I mean, it's not just one class, thankfully. But Heroic Angrimmar, you need hard CC classes. So you need, you know, your Warlocks for Banish, or Druids for Entangle, or, you know, you need those hard CC classes. And if you don't have a lot of hard CC, while the fight might not be impossible, it's certainly a lot harder.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in our attempts on Heroic Angrimmar, whenever we get past the blasted wall that is Coven. And not having a class that can do a hard CC makes that fight a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
Or another example from Antorus. Having a blood decay on Heroic Coven, or just Coven in general, their ability to mass grip a whole bunch of adds trivializes that portion of the fight pretty significantly. There are still other parts you gotta worry about, especially on Heroic with the storm ability. And I forget the Titan that does the ability, that summons the adds that walk across the room. Having the blood decay there definitely trivializes the fight. Having two blood decays there would make it even better. But hey, we can't always get what we want. Jugs, reroll blood decay. You too can brag about your HP. You too can have 30 million HP.
So, with Jugs. I'm curious what Medros thinks about there being another faction in BFA that has minigame world quests like Kirin Tor and Legion.
I will hate some of them. I know it. But as long as they learn from their mistakes, limiting how many there are required. I think limiting the Kirin Tor to 3 was really good. They also increased the frequency of them. And when they found that there was issues with it, they did fix things like pushing everybody to completion automatically when there was like 2 days of like almost no Kirin Tor quests out there.
That's true.
Like, as long as they're cognizant of their issues and their failures in that regard and work towards resolutions for that, I'm fine. I understand that I am not a big puzzle person. The wind one where you have to like do the jumping and the flying. No, it's not going to happen. Yeah. Well, let's just stop there. Stop right there. We'll move on to something more realistic, because there's no way I'm doing that.
Well, then the Lake the Wind and the other one, the bubble one, where you have to float in the bubbles, you can totally cheese those now with being mounted, like having flying mount.
Never mind the magic of flight or the bubble ones. They were a little annoying sometimes, but I never felt like they were unachievable.
Yeah.
The only one that I had the only ones I had the problem with are the Like the Wind.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't get them, and I'm sure there'll be ones like that this time too. As long as they do a good mix and are creative in their puzzles, without being frustrating.
Yeah.
I do honestly wish they hadn't taken away the ability to do the icons on the barrels, because that was but it just takes an extra couple at worst for the barrels now. So
see, I'm kind of the opposite when it comes to the Kirin Tor World Quest. I can't stand the bubble one. At like pre-flight, I would avoid them as much as possible, because it just went so ridiculously slow. It was tedious as all hell. At least with Like the Wind, I felt like I was actually doing something instead of like, okay. Let's hold down my mouse button so I can move forward a little bit with the bubble. Okay, we're good. Okay, now let's hold down spacebar so I can slowly elevate with the bubble. Wait, no, too much. Okay, stop. Tap the spacebar. No, that was not fun. That was.
And then, since you're moving in 3D space, you can very easily accidentally go down
that was and out of not your bubble.
See, Vishara trained us all for that, though.
You what?
Vishara trained us for that. He trained us to think in 3D space. Vishir, yeah, that's. Sorry, sick.
Oh, I thought you were saying Ashara. I'm like.
Well, Ashara was in Vishir.
The floaty water one.
Yeah, like the wind. Yes, I mean, don't get me wrong. It was a difficult quest, and sometimes just but at least
sometimes it kind of
during
bugs
that
out.
I felt like I was playing a game instead of a glorified
that's true.
I hesitate to use the term quick time event because it is not quick, but it was just I cannot stand the bubble one, whatever it's called.
How do you feel about the one where you have to ride that mount through those swirly things?
See, while that is not terribly engaging, I make my own little game out of it.
Oh,
because I try to get that modifier as high as I can go.
Yeah, how does that even work? I don't understand how that works.
Basically, you have to turn as little as possible.
Yeah, every turn or every stopping, like if you run into something, it'll reset drop your counter.
So you try to like see far enough ahead where like, okay, if I make just these two small adjustments, I can get there without running in anything or without making much of a turn.
I really like those ones.
I don't like that one because I like they have an attack thing that you can leap at something and attack it. And the last time I did that, I got dismounted and I couldn't even remount. I had to like get out of the zone or log off and log back in before anything would work. So it was just a glorious waste of time.
The mana saber one?
Yeah.
I've never been attacked on that one, nor have I ever tried to attack.
No, there's you can do the like hit the one key to leap at something and attack it if you get close to it. So I did that and then it dismounted me.
Really?
Yeah, it's so lame.
I honestly don't pay much attention to the action bars during that quest. It is strictly mouse for me.
See, if I see an icon that I can attack something for free, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to do it.
Huh. I'm going to have to look at that next time.
I did enjoy the enigmatic one too, that puzzle.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a memory game. It's I like those kind of games. They're fun.
When Hannah used to sit down here once in a while when I was playing WoW and that came up, I would get her to come sit at the computer and play that, and she enjoyed those puzzles too.
Well, now you can get Haley to do them someday, maybe. It's a memory game. Memory games are good for babies. and just developing minds. I'm not kidding.
That's true. It's just a matter of, you know, keeping focused or keeping attention on it.
Yeah, and you know, she'll have to develop fine motor skills to manipulate the mouse.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's fine.
Everything is fine.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I am totally logging in right now to do the lay race that's up in Zuna just to see if you can attack, because I've never seen the ability to attack there.
While you're doing that, I'm going to bring up a point that has come up that I've thought about recently, and we've talked about this before on the show, especially when Midwinter, I think it was, announced that they were moving from Alliance to Horde.
Yeah.
They mentioned in one of the interviews, I think it was with Vanyan, that they are acutely aware of the faction imbalance of hardcore raiding guilds. They are trying to figure out a way to solve it, but they don't have anything to announce yet. But so it's good to hear that they're actively working on a solution. Because, yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks to looking at all the hardcore raiding guilds, especially on WoW Progress. Like, oh, look at all that red. That's a lot of red.
I don't even know if there's, like, anything major as far as racials go that make for that imbalance. I feel like it's just a lot of Alliance guilds have had a hard time and lost their members, and so the Horde guilds are just going crazy, and then people are shifting over to the Horde, and...
I mean, I think that's part of it, but at the same time, there are some racials that do have slight benefits to DPS, yeah. Especially if you look towards the orcs and the trolls.
I'm pretty sure, like, way back in the day, the Alliance guild or the Alliance factions had better racials than the Horde did, though.
Yeah, I can't speak to that, unfortunately. I started in Wrath.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what they attempt to do. They did specify during that interview that they're open to adjusting racials if it's found to be a little too overpowered. So that's good.
Yeah.
Another thing from the Vanyan interview. And I know a lot of people were talking about this when the playable races for the Zhentilari Trolls and the Kul Tirans were announced. Because they can be druids, which some people find odd. Maybe not so much with the Zhentilari Trolls, because we know that there are troll druids, and that's just accepted. It's more so with the Kul Tiran druids that people were like really confused lore-wise. How they fit in with, you know, a Night Elf or Tauren Druid. And we'll see throughout the story that just how they differ. Because it's a distinctly different type of Druidism compared to the Tauren and the Night Elves and all that. So I'm interested to see that. I like little story bits like that. Maybe that'll open the door to potentially other Druid races coming into existence. Because we saw that with the Tauren Paladins. They're not strictly light worshipping, there's Sunwalkers, right? While thematically it's still a paladin, it's a very different type of paladin compared to the human and dwarf paladins, for example. No, I like seeing different stories like that, so it'll be cool to see what happens there.
Survival Hunters and Demo Warlocks were the two specs that got the most reworks for BFA. Hopefully Demo Locks get meta back. Stupid Demon Hunters stealing our meta.
I'm curious as to what Survival Hunters are going to get changed. Are they going to go back to your Rage class?
They're going to survive through raids. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. That.
I mean, I'm not. I actually really liked. Like, I haven't played a lot on my Survival Druid. Or my Survival Druid. My Survival Hunter. But at the time I played with them, I really enjoyed it. I just got caught up in other stuff. Unfortunately, the amount of time I've been putting into game versus all the stuff I want to do does not make Legion very alt-friendly. I acknowledge that that's a personal problem, but whatever. It's not alt-friendly for me. And that's all I care about. They did talk about Warfronts, briefly. And by briefly, I mean that they said that it's going to come up on the alpha servers soon. So I'm interested to see what that's going to be like, because unless I'm mistaken, we don't have a lot of information on Warfronts, and there was one feature they talked about quite a bit at BlizzCon, and I can't honestly remember any details behind that. I know it's an event in the real world, not the real world, like in the game world, in the overall world, maybe. No, I'm misremembering that. It's changing events that would have an impact on the world, I think. Maybe. I don't know anymore. But it's, I know for sure it's like the weird mix of MMO and RTS, which will be interesting.
Yeah, I remember reading about that.
I don't exactly know what's going on with that feature, so I'd like to see that. When it becomes available, I will play through that.
Yeah, I would like to try that. I enjoyed the RTSs, so I'd check that feature out.
Yeah. What else was there at PAX East?
New pet. A ferret in BFA.
Ferret?
A ferret.
A tube cat?
I guess so.
That's what they're called. They're called tube cats. At least that's what I call them. Uh-huh.
So I can confirm you do have the ability to attack. It will knock you off your cat. And you just need to fly outside of the ocean. And it'll report you back to where you need to be.
But, and I have attacked things before and it didn't dismount me. But in this one case, it was one of the withered that I think I attacked. And yeah, I got dismounted and I couldn't get remounted until I like left the zone or relogged or something along those lines. I think I had to leave the zone and come back.
It is weird.
It's definitely a bug. Like, it's not intentional. It's just like, this feels awkward. Give you the
ability to attack at all, but I've never even tried to attack, so good to know.
One interesting thing that I found that I'm reading in one of the interviews, I think it's that Trade Chat interview. And it's not something we talk about a lot. It's just because it's something that kind of just happens in game. But you know, they're making some changes to the weather system, which is kind of cool. Some of the changes include weather coming in from a distance, so you'll kind of be able to see it coming, which is pretty cool.
And I thought that they did do some weather effects, maybe not so big, but like a couple expansions ago.
Yeah, I recall that. They're calling this the Weather 2.0 system, so there's a 1.0 at some point.
Yeah.
The weather will also affect the camera, which could get annoying.
But depends how badly it will affect it. It will get annoying.
It depends how badly it affects it. If it's not too bad, then whatever. If it's just the edges of the screen, like when it's telling me I'm about to die, which is often, sorry, Junks, then whatever, I will mind it. If it's the whole screen thing, that might be a little much. I don't know why I'm motioning with my hands, but I'm doing it. It's okay.
You do you, man. You do you.
I talk with my hands way too often for somebody who's on an audio-only show.
We need to get cameras so that
I have a camera.
We need to use them. I don't have one.
I bought a camera. I bought the camera specifically for the Calm Before the Storm event podcast that I was part of last year, and we didn't end up using the cameras.
Hey, Bedros, they talked about Rathion in one of these interviews.
Oh, did they? I didn't see that.
It's the Wowhead's Battle for Azeroth dev interview. It says, is Rathion really the last black dragon, or could we find more during our island expeditions? That's all it says. That's it. So,
I don't even know. It's like they asked a question and didn't get an answer. Just like every other black dragon.
That's about, those are some of the highlights from the PAX East coverage. Of course, there's plenty of other things that we could talk about, but that will take a very long time. If you're interested at all, MMO Champion has summaries and links to many of the interviews. So go check them out. I also briefly want to talk about one thing that is not WoW related at all. I just find amazing. Deckard Cain is coming to the Nexus. Who saw that coming? I mean, at a point, you kind of just expected it to happen, but at the same time, when it finally happens, you're like, oh, wow, they actually did it. Did you guys have the same reaction? I know, that was my reaction to that.
Can't remember what my reaction was, but I think it's cool. I mean, not that I really play that at all.
Yeah.
I don't play a lot of games anymore.
I enjoy that one of his heroic abilities. I like both of his heroic abilities. I mean, there's the obvious one, stay a while and listen. He tells a story and puts everybody to sleep.
That is awesome.
Which is just expected of Deckard Cain.
Yes.
And the other, his other heroic ability, I kid you not, is called Lornado.
That's Lornado. Awesome.
It is a tornado of books that pushes the enemy team back. I mean, I haven't played Heroes of the Storm in a long time. Like, in quite a while. I might play to play Deckard Cain. It is currently unknown how many Lornado movies there will be, Frasley. There is at least one. Maybe the sequels come in the form of talents to augment the Lornado. We don't know. I am not sure that Subway is willing to sponsor a small indie dev like Blizzard. I don't know. It's just a thought. So that was the news. I mean, that was a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a nice change of pace. I enjoyed talking about all the things. There's so many things.
Cinematic for the burning of Tel Drassil and Battle of Lordaeron?
What?
I mean, we've seen some of that. It's part of the WoW Shocker interview with Battle for Azeroth devs.
Oh.
It was the first link that we were looking at. That's cool. I love watching the cinematics. They're amazing. Blizzard does such a great job of cinematics.
That just reminded me of something else I wanted to talk about. Because I remember in the announcement trailer for the release date, we saw some footage from what looked like the event for Battle for Lordaeron, which was cool. But can we talk a little bit about the new art that came out for Battle for Azeroth? Where it's Sylvanas and Anduin kind of face-to-face, a la the old human and orc from the original Warcraft game. Have you guys seen that?
No.
No.
Oh, it was on the launcher for a little bit. Where is it? I'm going to have to find it now, because it's not there anymore.
Oh, no.
But yeah, it was like, it's like, picture what we've seen for the Battle for Azeroth art so far. The orc and the human facing off against each other, just staring each other in the face. And I just swap those people with Anduin and Sylvanas. And I very much like that callback. It's a further thing to, like, I feel at this point, I mean, especially in this point, we are in completely unexplored territory lore-wise. And I feel like that art is a good signifier of that. At this point, we've taken care of the Legion, right?
Yeah.
That's done with, and that's kind of been the big looming threat for as long as Warcraft's been a thing. And now going forward, like, what are we dealing with? We don't know. I mean, it's the Void and Old Gods, but at the same time, we don't know. So seeing that art, the way they lined it up, it was just, it hit a, I am struggling to think of words to describe that right now, but it hit a certain emotion that I can't describe, and it upsets me that I can't find it right now. It was on the launcher for a long time, too.
Here we go.
Did you find it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the image I was thinking
it's
of.
On, just, you know, it's on the background of the WoW website right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, that's, I don't know. It made me feel emotions that I don't know how to describe right now, but it's just it's a really cool imagery.
Yeah.
And I like what it's, I like what it symbolizes in my head.
You know what?
Sylvanas is going to go all super banshee on him, and he's going to be gone.
See, the funny thing is if you look at the launcher right now, it has an orc versus human one that has the same background as that image. Like, the people in the background are the exact same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see that. I don't see that. That image is really cool. And for those of you listening to download, come to our Discord and you can see the image. It's fantastic. You should look at it.
So that's really it for what we had in the notes for news. But did we talk about Blizzard getting rid of the auction house app?
Oh my god, week? How did we not talk about that?
I don't know.
When did Medros, it come up? I think that affects you the most out of all of us, because I think you used it the most, right?
I used it a lot, yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, I think it's on April 11th. It's pretty soon that they're 18th, being killed. I believe. Okay.
I'm just trying to check here. I think they put in the forums, actually. So the API and stuff. Actually, I think you guys talked about this last week, but you didn't actually have it in the show notes. I'm trying to find it in Skype. I know we I know it was LinkedIn or Skype earlier this week.
Yeah, we talked about... I know the three of us have personally talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it on the show.
That's it. No more midweek talks anymore about WoW. WoW is off topic in the chat from now on.
Okay, I will fill it with dogs. All the dogs.
All right, deal. The API... not the API, but the...
The WoW Mobile Armory Auction House will be deactivated on April 18th, 2018. You'll still be able to use the WoW Armory app for all other purposes except the Auction House. That's what it says in the app.
And I was kind of hoping this was we're moving everything into one app. Yeah. So that the Legion Companion app would then become the WoW app. And it would have everything all in one, including doing the same stuff you were doing... But how it's going to be in Battle for Azeroth, but the fact that they're keeping everything else in the app as is tells me that's probably not what's going to happen, which is sad. I made a lot of money using that app, to and from work, reposting stuff, undercutting people. There are a couple good expansions where I made a good amount of coin, just selling lots of stuff. Unfortunately, that seems to be going away. So I don't do as much as I used to. But there are still some things that I still sell only via that app because I don't trust TSM and other stuff to give me the price I want without a lot more work. Hopefully they will make the in-game stuff easier so that it will provide me, like, I don't remember what my last auction was for that item and give me the ability to price match or to see what other people are pricing theirs at. Yeah, it's a big loss for a lot of gold makers out there.
See, here's my memory with the with that particular app. It got my account locked.
Really?
But, yeah. But, I mean, it was also my fault. Don't get me wrong. Apparently, they don't like when you use it in an Asian country when you've been using it in Canada for the rest of the time.
Oh.
So I was using it to talk to my guildies while I was in the Philippines.
Oh.
The worst part was, it didn't even lock until I got home.
Wow.
And I got home, and a day later, my account was locked.
Like, almost as if you had bought the account from... Or you had paid somebody to do stuff for you, and...
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, I mean, I got my account back, obviously.
Yeah.
But still, it was quite inconvenient.
I bet.
I'd be really upset.
Yeah, I was all set. I remember, like, okay, I'm well rested. I've recovered from that 24 hours of traveling. Let's sit down and play some WoW. Like, oh, my account's locked. Customer service is closed. So I had to deal with that the next day. Oh, well, it all worked out, clearly.
Yeah.
And you know what else works out?
What?
Audible. Audible works great. Audible's a fantastic service. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. This week's clip is a continuation of the Percy Jackson series. This is Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters, written by Rick Riordan, narrated by Jesse Bernstein. Let's give that a listen right quick.
Silence, except for the rain. Grover took a deep breath. Maybe the thing was gone. Then lightning flashed. The entire front of the store exploded, and a monstrous voice bellowed, "Mine!" I sat bolt upright, shivering in my bed. There was no storm. No monster. Morning sunlight filtered through my bedroom window. I thought I saw a shadow flicker across the glass. A human-like shape. But then, there was a knock on my bedroom door. My mom called, "Percy, you're going to be late." And the shadow at the window disappeared. It must have been my imagination. A fifth-story window with a rickety old fire escape. There couldn't have been anyone out there.
So once again, that was Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters, written by Rick Riordan and narrated by Jesse Bernstein. You can find that and over 200,000 other titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. You can head over to bit.ly/ATABooks2018. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show. Our question of the week for last week was, what was your favorite April Fool's Day prank by Blizzard this year? And Medros, did we get an answer from you last week?
I don't believe so, no.
All right, so what was your favorite?
The 10-second holiday.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I play Pokemon Go, and they do, like, very little notice events sometimes, but that was just, like, totally took the cake.
They give you plenty of notice for the micro holiday that they mentioned. 4 seconds, I think, yeah, is plenty of notice.
So basically, you can't leave your computer for the next, you know, 365 days watching for that 4-second notice on the 10-second holiday.
And you can't leave the camera to time.
Yeah, oh. Just like, you basically bought yourself to keep yourself logged in the entire time and never leave an anachronous aside, and you're good.
Yeah, it's fine.
You can't go raid. Sorry, I'm waiting for an event. Don't know what's going to start.
I need to get this title. I can only use it during this event, but I need the title.
Yeah.
When do you start out by reading out our answers from our great listeners?
Sure. The first answer is from Zephariah. Meh, sort of underwhelmed.
Second answer is from WookieBH, who agrees with Medros and said the 10-second micro-holiday with 4 seconds warning.
Frazzly knows me a little too well. I think Toasty will agree the four-armed warrior joke. While I appreciate that the arms warriors would have gotten extra arms, I did not appreciate them taking away the appendages from Fury Warriors. That was very rude.
I still think that that is just fine as long as you can color your skin blue.
I don't get it.
My champ.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the Fury Warriors. Like, what? Why does having no appendages and being blue, what reference am I not getting?
I understand now, sorry.
All right, and that was it. As usual, you know, answer our questions, guys. I like hearing from you. It's cool. I'm really looking forward to hearing what people have to say about our question for this week is, what are you looking forward to most about the Battle for Azeroth Physical Collector's Edition? I want to get my hands on that book. But I just like the books. I love books.
I just want the sigil thing. That looks freaking awesome.
The Mark of Allegiance?
Yes.
What about you, Fan?
To be honest, I think the thing that I look forward to the most is the box. One day, I will have a shelf. Maybe when I get a new house, I will have a shelf where I can have all of my collector's editions up on the shelf and see them all. Like right now I have in the front of my shelf I have Diablo Reaper of Souls, around the edge I have the other Diablo 3, and then in the front I also have WoW Legion, and I look up at them once in a while. They're cool. Like the boxes are like, they're so big, and I really like those. The stuff inside is cool, but I never really look at it after I buy it and kind of look through everything. So just the box.
Yeah, my shelves need to be reorganized a little bit. Some stuff's need to move over somewhere else. Diablos are going to need to be on the same shelf to make room for the 8th WoW box.
I just need to buy more shelves for my new house. I got some shelves right now.
That's a good plan. I mean, and you'll have plenty of time before it releases.
I mean, as it stands right now, getting Battle for Azeroth up there will be no issue. It's just, like, I have a lot of stuff that's not on shelves right now, and I'd like them on shelves. But I need to buy some stuff. I need to buy a lot of stuff. Moving is expensive, as it turns out. I'm sure both of you are keenly aware of that. I am not, having lived in the same house for 31 years.
Not only that, but it's so much work.
Oh my god, don't get me started on that. I could talk for a while.
When I moved from my apartment to my house, I packed a bunch of stuff in boxes, but I don't know why, how, what. I totally derped on, you know, packing up all my kitchen in a box. And my family came over to help me move stuff. And my mom looked at the kitchen and she's like, "What's going on here? Why didn't you pack any of this stuff up?" I'm like, "Oh, I forgot."
I went through a bunch of my stuff this past weekend. mostly just getting rid of clothes that I haven't worn in a while. I took 4 garbage bags full of clothes to Value Village yesterday, and my closet and my drawers are still full.
Yeah.
It's just, they're not as, like, before I would cram stuff in there just to get it in. Now it's, like, comfortably in there. Where if I take one thing out, I won't take 3 or 4 other things out because they get stuck. Anyway, we're talking about my moving logistics now, which means the show is probably coming to an end. Medros, what are your shoutouts for this week?
So we do have our normal monthly shoutouts to our Patreon listeners, our Patreon members. So I'm just pulling that up here now. And of course, the first time of the month, we always mention everybody. So shout out to Lee, Navimi, Brock, Fan, Redzian, Thomas, David, Carolina, Andrew, Wookie, and Bimini. One other shout out I want to mention. Somebody mentioned in Discord to me, they messaged me directly, and apparently in Australia they can't listen on iPhone because the iPhone app keeps crashing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a special RSS feed, hopefully in the next week or two, that'll be for all members of Patreon, all the supporters of Patreon. So even if you just donate $1, you'll have access to that, and it will be releasing at the same time as our regular shows. It'll just give you the opportunity to listen, hopefully outside of whatever's causing problems for people on iPhone. So hopefully that will help for those who have the Patreon app on their phone. They can listen through that app instead of through their usual podcast manager. So my regular shout out, and I did talk to the guys about this before, for those who somehow aren't aware, and I can't imagine anybody who isn't aware at this point, this weekend there was a horrible accident in rural Saskatchewan where over a dozen members of the Humble Broncos lost their lives, including the head coach and several others. The response across the world, in and outside of the sports world, has been incredible. The majority of teams who played games the next night in the NHL donated a lot of their proceeds, a lot of money towards the family. There's a GoFundMe for the those who have lost their lives, the families of the victims, as well as those who have a lot of time now to try and get back to where they were, including players who likely will never play hockey again. So that GoFundMe was original goal of $4 million is to $6.5 million right now. So my shout out goes to everybody who has sent their support to this team, to the people of Humboldt, Saskatchewan, and everybody who is affected by it, players from across Canada, and even, I believe, some American players as well were included in the team. My shout out goes to everybody who supported this, who gave their thoughts and condolences, and if you haven't looked into this, please do. I'm sure this team and the players and their families would appreciate any support you can give, be it financially or just emotional and mental support. So that's my shout out for today.
I mean, realistically, it's hard to top that shout out. It's a very impactful tragedy. I mean, the youngest victim there was 16 years old and had his whole life in front of him. And now it's just, he's just not there anymore. And yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, like there's one kid that was called up for the playoffs. Yeah, he was like 17 and he's gone. There's a player who had one of the most skilled players on the team. He can't feel his legs now. And may never walk again. Likely never play hockey again, whether he ever gets to walk again or not. He'll probably never play hockey again. A lot of lives were changed. No one knows what happened other than a truck hit a bus and a lot of people died. So yeah, my thoughts to them and my thanks on behalf of all of Canada for those who've sent their support.
Yeah, when I was reading about this, it looked like, well, looking at the GoFundMe right now, that $6.5 million has been raised by over 85,000 people.
In 3 days. 3 days, that's all.
When I something that I had read before was it was over 60 countries. So it's not just Canada, not just the U.S. Many countries throughout the world have pledged money to help out these families and people. And it affects so much more than just the players and the families of the players, but also the houses that they stayed with, the people that they stayed with, because they board with other families, and so they become basically kids for these families as well. So it's really hard on so many people.
Yeah, I mean Humboldt is not a large community by any stretch of the imagination, so this is very much essential part. Yeah, lives changed forever. I cried a lot.
It was a rough weekend for a lot of people I know. The support shown by hockey teams and even a baseball team with no connection to Canada. You guys, I'm sure you guys saw what the Hawks and the Jets did. You know, they had a really amazing ceremony. They pointed out that, you know, when you play for a team, you play not for the name on the back, but the crest on the front. And that's why that game, the last game of the season for the Jets, they and the Hawks all wore jerseys that had no personal name. All the jerseys had Broncos on the back, and the player's number. You know, there was across Canada and across the NHL, there was amazing tributes to these players, to their families. And I was really touched, really, really touched that the world reacted so amazingly well and so amazingly supportive of the people who have to go through this. When people who have no connection to an event other than hearing of a horrible thing come together in support, it's touching, but it's an event you never want to have to be hearing about. You don't want to hear that 15 people lost their lives and that 13 other lives were changed forever. I don't personally know anybody, but my wife is from a city that is very close to the border with Saskatchewan. People on her Facebook knew people who were on that bus, knew people who died on that bus. So it's very, you know, from my house, it gets very close. I can't imagine it being in my house that this tragedy has to hit, even if it's just somebody who is hurt and may take a long time to recover. I can't imagine. And I hope that the people who are friends and family of those who are lost are able to recover. It's not easy. It's a very, very hard road, and the grief is unimaginable.
Seeing the outpouring of everybody in the reaction to this event, it's one of those things that kind of gives you faith in people again.
Yeah.
Especially considering everything else that's going on in the world. What came of it was an amazing thing. What happened, obviously, is damn terrible. So, yeah. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. There's not really much more we can say, so.
To lighten the mood, I just want to say, watching that game was very confusing, because I don't know many of the numbers for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I think the announcers were very happy that they remembered the numbers of players to do the play-by-play, because otherwise you'd be like, oh, the Broncos passes the Broncos, they pass the Broncos, it's a chunk of the Broncos. Yeah, it'd be hard.
Okay, well, I think, yeah, I'll take us out. once I scroll down to the appropriate section of the show notes. There we are. Okay. If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show at allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz. Medros is at Medros. Fandeath is at Fandeath. I'm at ToastyPostyCan. And you can find the network over at Dawnforge. And join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Universe.
We'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of life.
This podcast has been a production of Dawnforge, copyright 2018. Find out more at thedawnforge.com.